Previously on the Loyal Littles podcast.
Okay, what's the one food you could never bring yourself to eat?
Oh, Roxy, such a great question for me. There's a few, but the number one is I've never eaten pie. And when people find that out, they like get actually angry at me. Like, as if I've done something to them. And then they just start naming pies. Like, I don't know what a pie is, and I've just made a mistake. I'm like, they'll be like, a pecan, a cherry? And I'm like, no, I fully understand what a pie is. I am 41 and I almost graduated college. I know what a pie is.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast.
On the WTFC podcast network.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, Littles. Roxy.
Chuck.
Happy pecan day.
Or pecan.
Tomato, tomato.
What is this? Now there's a day for nuts?
Had to do it. Also, happy final day of the Masters.
Wow, already?
Yes, already.
Yeah.
It's looking like it could... I'm going to jinx this. I know I'm going to jinx this, but it looks like it could be a good ending.
Yeah, hopefully.
Lots of bunching up at the top.
Yep.
There's not one clear winner.
No.
In any sense of
no.
the... Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a good last day. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get this going. The Masters might be over by the time this gets out.
Who knows?
Sure, we got to... Busy day, but we're going to get this going. Chuck forgot some things. I have a list here. Well, where do you want? We can jump around. Do you want to do the bowling segment first? I don't think we've ever done that.
Sure.
Let's do that. It's short, but sweet. Here we go. We had a lot more fun.
Oh,
tons more
so
fun.
So much more fun.
So different than the week before.
Mm-hmm.
But we beat them the last time, but they came out on top this time. It was a good match.
Yeah.
It was a good match. It was close. But they did just squeak by and pull out some extra points than we did. Roxy had a good night.
I did, thankfully. It was nice and consistent.
I had a great first game and an okay second game.
Mm-hmm.
Not as great.
Mm-hmm.
But in my first game, I bowled a Nick Melke.
Ah.
And you had a Sean Smith.
I did.
That's pretty good.
Yep.
Game two, I had a Sean Flegel and you had a Tim Wildsmith.
There you go.
So both... pretty good.
Yeah. Honestly, it was probably my best night because I was consistent and I stayed very close
in
between
the,
my second game
Sean,
and my
Tim
first game.
Tim Wildsmith area.
Yes.
You were consistent.
Yeah.
Mine was semi-consistent, but my first game was, I mean, come on, a Nick Melke. That's a pretty good game.
Yeah, right.
For me, anyway.
Yeah.
And I was just thrilled because it put me far enough against my opponent, who's a really good bowler.
Yes.
He mopped me up last time.
He's really good.
And it put me far enough ahead where he did beat me in game two, but I won overall.
There you go. So you got two of your three.
I got
three.
Two of the 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and you, unfortunately.
1.5.
This always
split.
It kills me. People always think, it's just a, I don't know how to explain it, but every pin counts.
Yeah, it does.
I try to tell the team that every pin counts.
Yep.
And you tied.
We tied for overall.
For overall.
Mm-hmm.
So you beat him the first game. He beat you the second game.
And then we
But
tied.
Overall, you tied. So you split that last point.
Yeah.
So you each got 1.5.
Yeah.
So not too bad.
No.
It was a good night. But most
importantly,
it was much more fun. Yeah.
So we like them.
That's all we got. There was no drama this week. Sorry,
thankfully.
Everyone. Yeah. Well, I think the listeners like some drama once in a while on the bowling. Let's get back to our bracket challenge for a second.
Okay.
Because Chuck here forgot something this
Uh-oh.
Year.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
And it could be fun. Might not be.
Might be pouring salt in the wound, maybe?
No, well, maybe. But I forgot about the worst bracket challenge.
Yeah, right.
Okay, I didn't even announce it this year. We didn't say we were going to do
no.
a prize. And so I guess we probably won't. But I completely forgot because I'm a firm believer in it's harder to pick a worst bracket than it is to pick...
A best bracket.
Mm-hmm. I do. I really think that. And so I don't necessarily think anyone was trying. I hope he doesn't mind. I'm going to announce it was Ben Bryan.
Who?
Yeah, exactly. Ben Bryan. He probably won't even hear this. So
you never
he
know.
Had the worst bracket. The bracket name was Brantley's bracket.
Okay.
And it had 280 points. That was it.
Oh, wow.
Which is really low.
Yeah.
He had, I think he's a Midwestern Wilbon Big Ten guy, because he had Wisconsin winning the whole thing, which I don't think that's a terrible pick.
Yeah.
But the one that makes me feel like he might have been going for the bad bracket, but I don't think he was.
Mm-hmm.
He had Northwestern beating UConn in the second round.
Oh.
Which maybe he was just going off of Wilbon's picks.
Maybe.
Or no, who, someone else picked, I think it was it Greg Garcia? No. Who picked Northwestern to go all the way? Oh, that was Phil's mom.
Oh.
Phil's mom had Northwestern going
all
the way. So maybe he was just going with Phil's mom.
Maybe.
So that works.
Yeah.
All right. But we forgot to do that. So we'll have to remember that next year because that's fun, I think.
I think it's great because, like you said, it's almost harder to pick a bracket that comes in last, then, I mean, first is hard too.
Yeah,
but,
no, it is. But
yeah,
and
but it's
especially
just as hard.
If maybe next year we'll expand to allowing two brackets per entry. We'll see, because that's what the Big Show did this year. They allowed two. You can set, I guess, the number.
Okay.
I guess you can go unlimited.
Does that mean two different names?
Maybe.
Oh,
maybe. We'll see. We got a year to think on this, or almost a year to think on it. But I definitely want to get back and throw that in there for the worst bracket.
Yeah, sure.
Because that can be a lot of fun, too.
Sure.
So anyway, all right, let's get to some. We have thank yous. Thank you, Jen Korpik, episode TBD, for using the code.
Thank you so much.
She used the code. She went to Venmo, typed in our code.
LL Pod.
And sent us a one-time donation, which was really sweet. We appreciate all those. Remember, you can do that over there. Or if you want to become a monthly supporter, you can do that by going to our website.
LoyalLittlesPod.com.
Scroll to the bottom. All the information's there. You click on the link and you can sponsor the podcast for as little as 99 cents a month.
Yes.
Not a day, not a week, not every other week.
Not a year, a
99
month.
cents a month. So, and there's other options. There's no 5 and 11 or 9 and 20, unfortunately.
That's where the Venmo comes in.
That's what the Venmo's for. So anyway, head on over. We appreciate all of you, especially our monthly supporters.
Yeah.
That really helps us do things like the bracket challenge and send out these prizes out and get these prizes and stuff like that. So anyway, what's next, Roxy? So much in the news, in the TV world, especially.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're a little disappointed. We didn't fail you. Your third wheels failed you.
Yeah, a little
bit. We wanted to get Sid on this because she's a big Bachelor, Bachelorette, Golden Bachelor watcher.
Yep.
We also have some other friends.
Yeah, who are really into it as well.
Yes, and they were going to come on the podcast, and then
we just couldn't get the time right.
It's a crazy weekend for them. They've got a lot going on. They had friends from out of town.
Yeah.
Hopefully soon.
Yes.
Hopefully they'll come on soon.
That's okay. I've got a lot to say.
I know you do. So let's just rip the Band-Aid off and get into it. Golden Bachelor talk. They're getting a divorce.
Yes, just now, after 3 months of marriage.
Okay, but before you go off, can I just say I had that? I believe I had that.
Yeah, sure. I think a lot of us did.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No. You're the one that's always like, oh, I think this is great. These shows are fantastic. Oh, they're still engaged. Oh, they're married still and they have a kid.
Yeah, but I also can see the writing on the wall with the couples that I don't think are going to last. And this was one of them.
Okay.
So to begin with, this is not to say that she is not a genuine person or not a good person, but to be honest, I was not a fan of who he ended up proposing to and marrying and giving his final rose
to. Now, just to be clear, this is the Golden Bachelor. This is not the most recent Bachelor.
No, this is the golden
one where
this
they're,
is Gary.
How old was he? Like in his 70s?
72, I
72,
think?
Probably. I don't know if she was older, too.
She's 70, I believe.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's the one we're talking about. We're not talking about the most recent one that just ended like 2 weeks ago.
No, that was Joey. Yeah. No, he's like in his low 30s. But anyway, yes. So I was not a fan of her. I just, there were things about, I don't know. I hate to say it this way, but I kind of got the creeps from her
just,
a little bit watching
fair,
her. But to
remember,
be fair, I don't know.
Remember, we only see the edit.
Right.
We only see the edit they give us.
I don't know her personally, so I can't really say, but she was just giving some vibes that I was sort of, I don't know about this. But I also felt like, and they came out and said this, like they are both pretty established in their locations of where they live. They're very family oriented. So she's in New Jersey. He's out somewhere, I don't know, on a lake somewhere. And they just couldn't find common ground of where to live together.
Right.
That also fits with their each individual lifestyles, their families and things like that. So they came to the conclusion mutually that maybe they need to dissolve the marriage. Not surprised. And I'm curious if this would have happened regardless of who he chose. Because, they're at a point in their lives where they're very established.
We were talking to Sid about it, and that's what she said. She goes, I totally get it because they're in a place where they don't want to leave their grandkids or their kids if they live near them.
Yeah, of course.
You know, if that's a situation.
It's
very reasonable
and very understanding.
Right.
But I will say, I think they made it so long, partly because of the money. I think they both got
a
boatload of money. Well, they had their wedding on television. It was televised. So that's a huge pay bump there.
Well, we've been married for decades then, if you think 3 months is a long time, Roxy.
Well, I'm just saying the ABC pays them to do these things.
Right.
So I'm sorry. That would be a huge perk to making it last as long as it did. And a lot of couples do that.
They just split the money and then
I think so. But this was something that we all saw coming, I think. Most of us saw coming.
I wonder, does ABC get the ring back? Because don't they supply the ring as well?
Yeah, I don't remember what happens to the ring. I know at one point they came out and said, I'm pretty sure she has to give it back. But I also think there's like a time period where if it lasts longer than a certain period of time, they get to keep it or do whatever they want with it, sell it. I don't know. But I think if it's within a certain time frame, they have to give it back. But she was still wearing her ring.
Yeah, I saw the interview, they were holding hands.
They still love each other, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Golden Bachelorette.
But I'm like,
and how that works out.
That's stuff you should talk about before you get engaged.
I know.
Even go on the damn show.
I know.
Like what?
I know.
She thought, I mean, especially her. I don't mean to be condemning her, but
no.
She knows who the Bachelor is. She knows where he's from.
Right.
So she just assumed she could change him and say, right. Oh, he's going to move to Jersey for me or wherever
she's from.
Well,
the other element is taking a chance on love and taking a chance in life. And I think, you know, it's cool that they're still showing through this show that no matter how old you are or how young you are, well, maybe not young, but how old you are, you are still deserving of love and you can find it in some really interesting, wild places. So hopefully for both of them, they find what they're looking for eventually and can live out the rest of their years and days in happiness and peace.
Okay, but if you need, now you're saying the new one is going to be Golden Bachelorette this time?
Yes.
And when? How long do we know when that is?
I'm not 100% sure. There's rumors that it was his second runner-up.
Oh, that's right. That's what they usually do.
But I'm not 100%.
We're not
100% sure yet.
All right. The next thing I want to get into before we get to our great Meet the Littles guest, and I can't think of a better way to tie a bow around the NCAA tournament.
Uh-huh.
This Meet the Littles guest came out of nowhere for us.
Yeah.
When he said where he was from and what he did, I was like, oh, we got to get him on right away.
Yes.
And to say it's wrapping the NCAA tournament, both men and women's,
uh-huh.
mostly women's,
yeah.
tournament up with a bow
yeah.
is putting it mildly. However, until last night,
mm-hmm.
we're watching Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing. Let's be honest. You were not having the whole Caitlin Clark clean.
Okay.
You were not into it.
Here's
like
the thing.
I was like, we have to watch this game
yeah.
tonight. And you're like, really? I'm like, yes.
I feel a little bad because the few, and I say very few times that I saw her play during the tournament.
Uh-huh.
I saw mistakes being made. I did not see
her
hitting.
You saw her miss the three.
I saw her miss
the
three pointers
multiple times. Well, because you're looking down at your damn phone the whole time.
No.
Because then you hear me go like, holy crap.
Yeah, I saw a few.
Holy shnikes, how did she hit that shot?
I saw a few, yeah. but I also saw quite a few that didn't make it. And I'm like, really? Okay, what's all this hype about? Come on, people.
Oh my gosh.
She's human, blah, blah, blah.
But then you accused Chuck here of having a crush. You were like, oh, I know this is your new crush. And I'm like,
yeah.
she's like 21, 20, well, 20, 20. Okay, that's fine. But I don't know. To me, that's maybe I'm getting too old.
It's more like starstruck.
Like
you're a little starstruck.
Honestly, it's what we call in our business a talent crush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I definitely had a crush on her abilities
yes.
to play the game.
Yeah.
And like I said, I had to like break it all down for you because when you weren't getting into it, I was like,
yeah.
do you understand what this woman is doing? Do you understand that? She throws the ball up from like half court, makes a shot, but more importantly, she will immediately give up the ball.
Yeah.
And half the times, unfortunately, her damn teammates can't catch the ball that she's throwing to them to make the easy layup, but that's mm-hmm. besides the point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just like, the fact that she had so many assists.
I just feel like you have some rose-colored glasses on sometimes,
well,
Chuck.
We'll see, but
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, no, she's very talented, absolutely.
Okay, anyway.
That's fine.
Let's get to last night, because this was a real treat, because this came out of nowhere. This is how you know she's a star.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, she shows up on Weekly Update on the SNL, Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah, which is pretty cool.
And it was pretty cool. Now, you were a little bummed, I
oh,
think,
my
partly
gosh.
Because...
Yeah, a little bit.
Now, because in the opening... Well, first of all, who was hosting?
Ryan Gosling.
Mr. Ken.
Talent crush.
Talent
absolutely.
Crush, yes. But in the opening segment, they always do an opening,
yeah.
which was funny because they usually don't use the host in the opening segment.
Yeah, right.
And it's usually political or uh-huh. something like that, uh-huh. the current events type uh-huh. thing. Well, it sort of was, but they had the great Kate McKinnon back on.
Also talent crush. I mean, she's
yes.
freaking hilarious.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
And they did an opening. It was like a revisit of mm-hmm. something they did the last time I think Ryan was on.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
with the aliens. And
yeah, with the aliens. They're abducted by it. If you haven't
oh,
seen it, Littles,
my gosh.
You should go to YouTube.
She goes off and it's like he cannot keep a straight face.
Yeah, I mean,
and
who
I
could?
I love when they break mm-hmm. and they can't hold it together. It's just so funny.
But seriously, with her, who could keep it together?
I know.
She is so brilliant. She really
amazing.
Is.
Amazing, yeah.
Anyway, so they did the opening. All of a sudden, out of nowhere, we're in the news segment.
Yeah.
And
I was hoping that Kate McKinnon was going to come out and do her.
Because he said,
she's a scientist or something. Like, there's a costume that she used to wear.
Oh, right. But I'm talking about
Caitlin Clark, yes.
When they said, okay, please welcome to the show, Caitlin Clark. We literally thought it was going to be one of the actors. Like,
dressed
they usually
up.
Do.
Yeah.
They impersonate these people.
Right.
Well, no, it was Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Now, I do think Kate McKinnon doing Caitlin Clark would have been hilarious.
Yeah.
I do. But I think this was even better. But my point of the story is, if this doesn't prove she's a star, I don't know what does.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To not even win. She didn't win the national championship.
Right.
There's no one from South Carolina on Saturday Night Live.
No.
This was her team.
Yep.
And her. I mean, she's not even in the NBA yet. The draft is next week, I believe.
Yeah.
It's obviously she's probably going to go to Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And it amazes me the impact she has on everything.
Yeah. And I thought she did really well. I mean, you could tell she's not an actor.
Yes.
She was definitely reading from the prompts. But I mean, she was having a lot of fun with it seemed. So that was, it was cool to see her in a more human
moment. Yeah. And it was a well done skit.
Oh my gosh.
It wasn't really a skit. It was just a news segment.
Yeah.
But it was making fun of one of the news anchors. Yeah. And it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So bravo to her.
Yep.
Yeah, I think she's going to do well. I don't know. We'll see.
I hope so.
You know, it's not going to be as easy as it was in college, obviously. But I don't know. It amazes me the impact. But we're going to tie it up with a bow right now because this Meet the Littles guest, should I just spoil it? Spoiler alert, he's met her. Actually even knew her growing up and followed her in her high school career.
Yeah.
So don't go anywhere, Littles. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
Hey, this is Jason Fraley from WTOP's Beyond the Fame podcast, and you're listening to the Loyal Littles podcast on the WTFC Podcast Network.
We are being played in this episode by Parker Rose, and this song is called Little Dreamer. Now, if you like what you hear, the best place to hear all of Parker's stuff is over on Reverberation. You can find all his stuff at parkerrose.reverberation.com. That's parkerrose.reverberation.com. We'll put all that in the show notes, and as always, we'll play the full song Little Dreamer by Parker Rose at the end of the podcast. All you loyal littles, it's now time to
meet the littles.
And Roxy.
Chuck.
What a treat we have tonight.
Yes.
Is this Midwest? It better be.
I think it
is. It's got to be, right?
I'm pretty
sure.
It's not
Toronto, so it's got to be. Perfect timing, because we're going to wrap this whole NCAA stuff
up.
And the perfect guests to have to do that,
mm-hmm.
which we didn't know about until we started getting to know them. And so we're going to tie it all up in a nice bow, especially the women's tournament.
Yes.
So we're excited to hear some really good stories.
Yes.
Please welcome to the podcast, Tom Cakehurd. Hey, Tom, how's it going?
It's going great. Thank you for having me on the podcast.
Thank you for coming on the podcast. First of all, now I got the name right, correct?
Yes.
All right. Yes. Perfect. There's so much to get into with this one. This is kind of crazy, but
we're excited.
Let's do what we normally do. Let's take it way back. Let's find out where you grew up, things like that, where you went to school, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I grew up in a town called Davenport, Iowa. I currently live in a small town called Bluegrass, Iowa, which is nearby Walcott, Iowa. So if you're going west on Interstate 80, you'll go past this thing. The listeners will enjoy this. It's called the world's largest truck stop. And that's one of the landmarks around my area. So.
Is it a Buc-ee's? It's not, right?
No, it's not a Buc-ee's. It's called the world's largest truck stop.
Oh, that's what it's called. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
Easy to remember.
I wonder if you've ever passed that, Roxy. Now, quick question. Is Davenport the one with the snake road? Is that what it's called?
No, that's Burlington.
Burlington, okay.
Mm. Burlington, Iowa, that's about an hour and a half south of here.
Okay.
But Davenport, known a lot for jazz, mm-hmm. with Vic Spiderbeck, famous jazz musician.
Okay.
And they have a huge road race here every year called the Big Seven, which is run for, this will be the 50th year it's been run. So it's a 7-mile run across the Davenport area and up a big hill. And it's a fun time. So, yeah, and the Mississippi River runs east-west here. So it's a little different.
Interesting.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah, I've been throughout there. So that's why I was kind of new. I've only been
to Des Moines.
You've been to... Oh, that's right. We played Des Moines. I forgot about that.
Yes, and it was frigid cold.
Yes, it was. Well, they have the indoor tunnels, so that's good. The above ground.
It kind of takes twice as long to get where you're going to stay indoors. Right. But, you know.
But at least you're warm. So, all right. Well, did you mention where you go to school and stuff?
Went to the University of Iowa. It's where I actually met my wife at the University of Iowa. So, yeah, it worked out for me. It was a pretty good experience. I got to meet my wife.
That is great.
And what was your major and stuff like that?
Well, I was going to go into teaching, and I ended up being a sports writer. So I don't know how you figure that out. But, that's what happens sometimes. You do something that you weren't planning on doing. And, it's worked out wonderfully.
That's great. So now I don't know where exactly we should go from here. Was there a passion for writing and sports?
It was always the thing that I wanted to do, but I didn't really have the courage to do it. So it's one of those things. One of my friends and I always talk about this. It's like, if you've got a passion project, start by volunteering basically to do that and then make it your career if you can. And that's what I did. I just started writing for like a little local magazine. And it was right around the time when the internet started to explode. And I just right place, right time, right moment, and turned that into, I was following the University of Iowa athletics and a big sports fan. So I just ended up making it a career and been doing it since 2003 now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Nice.
Yep. You know, there's that old saying, do what you love and you won't feel like you work a day of your life.
Right.
You know, which is really great.
Yeah.
Now, I think people are already seeing where this is going since you said where you're writing. But why don't we get into the other stuff, though? How did you become a Little?
That's a good story. My friend Scott and I, who's also a fellow Little, he mentioned, hey, you should really listen to this show, the Tony Kornheiser show. And I was like, okay. And this was back in the ESPN days. And, we just sort of both started, he was following it already and I started following it. And then here's an even better story. So I'm down at the local YMCA and there's my friend Al Arkin, not that Al Arkin, he emails every once in a while. And Al just turned 94 years old. He might be the oldest Little.
Oh.
I think he might be. His birthday was this past week, so I want to give a shout out to Al and wish him a happy birthday.
Sure.
He's not living in the area anymore, but we were sitting down there talking one day, and he goes, I listen to this podcast. It's Tony Kornheiser. Do you ever listen to that? And I was like, holy cow, you're a Little. So we've had, every year the Summer of Littles, we've all gotten together, but Al just recently moved out of the area, so we won't be able to do that with him this year.
Oh, okay. Now, this Scott guy, does he have a last name?
Yeah, Scott Schrader.
Scott Schrader. Who's that?
I know. We got to get him on.
I mean, no Chuck and Roxy number? What
up?
We're going to tell him to eat it.
I know.
You don't even have
to
tell him to eat it.
We're
going to
tell
him to eat it.
Tell him to eat it. He'll listen.
Absolutely.
So I've got him and my friend Will who listens, and we've got a nice little crew. Every once in a while, we talk about the show. And
nice.
Okay, but you're beating them to the punch with the Chuck and Roxy number. That's great.
They're very envious.
Oh, great.
Good.
That's what we really want.
Yes.
Right, so then maybe they'll get on before Greg Garcia. Maybe not.
Maybe.
We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see if our people will talk to their people. Okay, so I love this. People know I love this. Iowa, no professional sports, right?
None.
Right. So it always intrigues me. Where's your fandom lie? What's your favorite sport, favorite teams, things like that?
Yeah, for me, I grew up a Chicago fan. So sure. I'm a Bears fan. I'm a Cubs fan. I'm basically Michael Wilbon is what I am.
Oh.
Okay.
I just like the Chicago teams.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
So that's what we grew up watching was Chicago teams here in Davenport and the Quad Cities.
Nice. So do you like baseball over football or vice versa?
Yeah, I grew up more of a baseball fan, but I enjoy football a lot. I enjoy basketball a lot. I was a big Bulls fan, especially during the Jordan years, who couldn't. So, and we had an Iowa connection on that first run of the Bulls with B.J. Armstrong on that team.
Oh, right,
guys.
Okay.
And he was in school the same time I was. So it was kind of cool to to see him be part of those teams. And Bobby Hansen was on those teams too, who played at Iowa and who now broadcasts the game and is a friend of mine. So it's kind of fun to talk to him about the old Bulls days too and playing with Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Now, we know there's no professional sports, but there are college sports there.
Yes.
There. So let's kind of rip the Band-Aid off. We know you've got some great stories coming up,
yeah,
and we're going to tease some of those for the second part, okay? Mm-hmm. But why don't we get right into it? I mean, what's it like being in Iowa right now?
It is surreal with the Caitlin Clark phenomenon because we first got familiar with her when she was in high school, and she's from the Des Moines area, which is about 2.5 hours from where I live and 1.5 hours from Iowa City. So everybody just kind of knew about her, but they didn't know she was going to be this. And just seeing this exponential growth of her fame and
sure,
the fame of the Iowa women's basketball program. I mean, I've known Lisa Bluter for decades. She got her coaching start right down the road from where I live.
Oh, wow.
At a place called St. Ambrose University. It was just St. Ambrose College back then. And she coached at Drake and then ended up at the University of Iowa for the last 24 years. And so just to see all of this come together for the women's basketball program has just been so cool and so neat for, and it's not just everybody embracing Caitlin. I'll tell you that like Kate Martin and Gabby Marshall and Molly Davis mm-hmm. and all the other players on the team are embraced by the Iowa fan base. Like they are just complete rock stars.
Oh, that's, I mean, great.
That's fantastic.
I was at the celebration the other night, Carver Hawkeye Arena, where they play, and there was probably 8,000-9,000 people there just to kind of welcome them home from the Final Four. And the ovations that all of them got were just unbelievable. And the athletic director retired Caitlin's 22
yeah.
jersey.
Yep.
And they're probably going to put a statue outside the arena of her.
Wow.
She being the local three. So
yeah,
it is. It's been,
it's surreal.
To be honest, it's been
yeah.
surreal.
Yeah.
It's really surreal to see somebody wearing an Iowa jersey on State Farm commercials.
Right.
You know, it's
right.
Wild.
Yeah. That's so amazing. That's
yeah.
fantastic.
And that's great that they love all of them. Of course, yeah. Caitlin Clark is Caitlin Clark, but the fact that the entire team gets to be acknowledged is so wonderful.
And I'll tell you guys too, at the end of that ceremony the other night, I was there for probably 20, 30 minutes afterwards, and there were still, this is just the phenomenon that she is and that this program is. It was around the entire court, probably three deep, of kids just trying to get signatures from Caitlin and from Kate Martin and some of the other players that lingered out there a little bit longer, but mainly Caitlin.
Yeah, sure.
She was still down there a half hour after this thing was done, signing for just about every kid that she could humanly sign for. And that speaks so well of her and the kind of person that she is.
Now, forgive me, I don't know the team that well. How many of them do you think will be coming back? We know, obviously, Caitlin's going to the WNBA, but...
Yeah, they have five seniors that are going to be moving on, so they're going to take a step back.
Yeah.
They'll still have Hannah Stolke, and they'll still have Sydney Falter out next year. They'll still have, they've got some other players, Kylie Furbach and some other players, but yeah, they're losing some of their main firepower.
Maybe because it was such a phenomenon this year, maybe that'll help with the recruiting. You know, never know.
Could be.
They have a really good recruiting class coming in, and they're going to be active in the transfer portal and trying to bring in another guard. So it will be more than likely not going to be a Final Four team next year, but they're still going to be potentially a really good team.
Yeah.
Great.
Competitive. That's,
yeah.
That's all you can really
ask
for.
It's always
for.
Hard because, I mean, and I mean no disrespect when I say this. I mean, I was just not one of the bigger cities that people want to flock to.
Right.
You know what I mean? To go to college sometimes. And
but it's helping the recruiting. They got a five cent, so I mean they're gonna be getting better players because people see just how welcoming the program is and the culture is so strong within the program. It's just been so much fun to watch this the last 2 years and go from, you know, going to games and covering games when there were 5,000 people there, and this year every game was 15,500 people. It was jam-packed.
That's amazing.
The women's basketball game. It was just so amazing.
Yeah.
Home and away.
Yeah.
Every game sold out.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
That's
the effect
great.
That one or a couple players can have on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm sure you've already heard this, but the WNBA for next year, all the away games, I mean, they're anticipating she's going to Indiana, right? That's the number one pick, unless they trade the pick, which I can't imagine. Yes. Maybe. I don't know enough about it. But those venues are already moving where those games are to get to a bigger venue so they can sell more tickets.
Oh, yeah.
That's how much they're anticipating she's going to have an effect on the WNBA next year.
Wow.
Which is great. So I just can't. It must have been a phenomenon just to be there and just to take that all in.
It's been so cool. And it's been this kind of amazing run for Iowa. And then there's another link to the Tony Kornheiser show that was part of real success for the Iowa men's program, and that's Luca Garza, who was National Player of the Year a few years back, who went to Murray and was taught in freshman English by one Michael Kornheiser.
That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's there amazing. You go. And I used to bring that up to Luca. I'd be like, hey, you remember your freshman English teacher? They were talking about you on this podcast.
Oh, my gosh.
You give me this look like, what are you talking about?
Podcast. Yeah. Hilarious. Oh, my gosh.
He always said Michael was really nice.
Awesome. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. He seems like he is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't had the chance to meet him.
No.
We almost got to meet him this year because he was going to play Jingle Golf, and we were going to that.
Right,
but unfortunately, it
got rained out
during Jingle Fest last year.
Yep.
Yeah. Sadly. But so maybe someday, maybe we'll get to meet him. All right. Well, listen, we still got to find out more about what you do. And then I know you have some more TK stories. So let's take a quick break. But don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with
Meet the Littles.
This is the Loyal Littles Podcast with Chuck and Roxy.
You and me, we might play golf this spring. Which is kind of strange, because I never do this kind of thing. You say a kid knows sports. Wow, that's great. But don't say that again, or I'll punch you in the face. Because unless you're Alan Bubis, I probably won't talk to you. If you play with me, you might think that you'll have fun. But don't you dare make eye contact with me or with my son. What's this for anyway? Is it charity? I guess it doesn't matter as long as my round's free. And I hope that you're not hungry, 'cause there's no way I'm gonna eat with you. And if you're truly a fan, then you know that's just who I am. Yes, that's who I am. You know, that is who I am.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles Podcast. And Roxy, we're so lucky. I mean,
yeah, this is great.
We have Tim K. Kurt with us, and he's got all these great stories, Caitlin Clark stories, but he also has some other big stories.
Yeah.
And we all know what that means. But first, and we'll plug everything at the end, Tom, but I don't think we actually ever went into the people you write for and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's called HawkeyeReport.com, and we're part of the On3 network. So it's on3.com, on and then the number 3.com. And yeah, I've been doing this since 2003, so over 20 years now. And it's been a great ride, been a lot of fun.
And do you cover everything?
I primarily cover men's basketball and football.
Ah, okay.
My main beats, and then I've got people who cover women's basketball, but I've been dabbling in the women's basketball for years too, and done that. We also do baseball, did some field hockey, and we cover a lot of football and basketball recruiting for men's and women's. So it's been, it's a fun job, a dream job. Really, it is. It's a dream job.
That's
it's
amazing.
And I always like to ask this too. Now, with the, you know, pretty much everything digital and things like that, I mean, how has that changed in your career path at all?
Oh my gosh, it's so different even than when I started. And it was just so different how multimedia, we didn't know, there was no YouTube when we started, not putting videos on YouTube. And now you've got to have various different revenue streams and podcasts and all these other things. You've got to be nimble in this, in this environment. Yeah, so it's very different
from just a typewriter. It's very different.
You know, when I started doing stuff just for fun, I was typing up a column and sending it to a guy who would put it in a print magazine that went out once a month. And now it's, you know, it's instantaneous. I'm putting stuff up every day, and then you got to tweet things, and you got to put them on Facebook, and your Facebook page, and you got to use all the SEO words and everything else to get engagement and to get it out there to the public. So it's a very different job. I don't know if it's a better job. You just have to go with the flow.
Yeah. Really.
I don't think people realize sometimes, especially when you're doing it by yourself, it's a lot of work. Like, yeah, I can't tell you how relieved I am when I hit that send and then
the
publish for the podcast. And you're like,
yep.
It's done. The episode's out there. And then I'm like, crap. Well, now I have to go on Twitter. Now I have to go on Facebook. Now I have to go on Instagram. You know, and it's like it's just never ending, you know? And it's like, and then I have to get the next guest. And, yeah. You know, it's like all this stuff that it's intense. Yeah.
It is.
So, all right, let's get into now some of these stories you have, okay? Because you've obviously gotten to meet some really great people along the way in your writings, as they say.
Yeah. So, like, last year, Iowa played Northwestern at Wrigley Field.
Mm.
So I'm up in the press box covering the game. It was not a memorable game. It was, frankly, one of the most boring games in the history of football.
Okay.
It went overtime, and it was like, you know, or it was just, it was not a fun game. It was just bad. It was
what do you mean? I mean, that sounds like
happened?
An exciting game.
Right.
No, it was like 7-7. It was just,
I see. So, it was one of Wilbon's favorite games. All defense.
Yes.
All defense. Yeah. Okay.
He was not surprised.
I'm sure. Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. So the final ended up being 10-7, and Iowa kicked a field goal in the final seconds. But anyway, end of the third quarter, they do basically like a seventh inning stretch thing because we're at Wrigley Field. Why not?
Yeah.
And it's right next to where I'm sitting, and in walks one Michael Wilbon.
Wow.
Nice.
In his Northwestern gear. And so I went over and after he came out of the booth and sang, I went over and said hello to him and just introduced myself, told him I was a little, and he goes, oh, you're one of those guys. So I just told him how much appreciate his writings and PTI and everything. And, yeah. And he was so gracious, such a nice guy.
Nice to hear.
Just made my day that he was a good guy. And I, of course, told him I was a fellow Chicago sports fan. And
yeah.
So it was cool.
He's probably like, what are you doing in that booth then?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
He's like, you
know, yeah.
Should be writing for Northwestern.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My other one is, the good one is Pat Forty too. I've shared the press box with Pat many times.
Oh, wow.
Whenever I see he's at one of the Iowa football games, and he'll cover, you know, one every couple of years or so, or we'll see each other at a AAU basketball thing. There's been a couple times we've been at those things, and I'll always just tell him I'm a little and enjoy him on the show and ask him how Brooke's doing, of course. But you have to ask about Brooke. And he loves talking about Brooke. So it's awesome. Last time he was in Iowa City, shared that Brooke had been in the Peace Corps down in Peru. And
right.
His son, Mitchell, had worked for a site on the network that I used to work at on Rivals. And he was covering Missouri. So I got to know Mitchell as well. So that's how I kind of officially met Pat. He was with Mitchell at a basketball thing, and so we got to talking. And so his son was awesome, just really cool guy, and doing great things. So
nice.
Now, did you ever get to meet Brooke by any chance?
Never got to meet Brooke. Just Mitchell and obviously Pat. And but Pat's super nice guy. Just
that's
really
great
nice
to hear. We always love hearing that.
I know.
And we had so much fun following Brooke in the Olympics.
Yeah.
I mean, it was. You don't really have any connections. You're like, well, there's kind of a connection,
sure.
A little connection.
Right.
You know, it's like, even though we've never met her either, obviously.
Yeah.
But
So also one of the women's games this year towards the end of the year when Caitlin Clark was setting a scoring record, I'm at the press conference and I hear this voice and I'm like, that voice sounds vaguely familiar. And it was Chuck Culpepper. It was the game. The Washington Post sent him to Iowa City to cover Caitlin, and just super nice guy.
Wow. You know? That's really,
really
cool.
Nice guy. So it's sort of like one of my hobby or my getaway thing where I listen to this podcast and the people who are on that podcast.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that classifies as a David Aldridge moment, but you know, it might be.
Well, I mean, I don't know. We have the thing on our website, the map.
Yeah, right.
Someone drew up a map of what qualifies
the flow chart. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, we feel the same way. I mean, we've been very fortunate to interview people like Pablo and, you know, Tim Kirchin. And I mean, the list goes on and on. And I feel the same way. I'm like, oh my gosh, I get so nervous because I'm like, these are people I listen to on the big show all the time.
Well, that was
I love listening to them.
That was going to be my question for you. Is there, and maybe you can answer this, maybe you can't answer this, but is there anyone that you've come across that you left a conversation or a meeting with someone and thought, wow, I can't believe I just got to meet that person.
John Feinstein. That was, you know, in kind of show-related things. We were covering the NCAA tournament in Columbus, Ohio, and Iowa was playing there. And I looked, and I'm like, holy cow, there's John. And I've read all of his books. So I'm like kind of starstruck.
Yeah.
Just went over and talked to him and just said hello. And, you know, he was doing a story on Luca Garza for the Post. So, you know, I said, hey, if you need help, anything background with Luca or whatever, just let me know. I'm happy to. He doesn't need my help writing a story.
Right. Yeah.
I'm just trying to be nice because I'd covered him for a couple of years at that point and knew him pretty well. Yeah, it was just cool talking to him and coming over and saying hello to me the next day. It was like, wow. John Feinstein knows who I am.
Aww. Yeah. No, that is really cool.
That's very cool.
All right. Well, Tom, we can't thank you enough for coming on the Meet the Littles. This has been great. And these stories have just been phenomenal.
Oh, my gosh.
And what a great way to wrap up, like I said, the NCAAs and the tournament and Caitlin Clark and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And, but we do have some fun, dumb questions. We can't let you get away without those. So, Roxy, take it away.
Okay. If you could time travel, where or when would you go?
I would go to the 60s because it was a fascinating time in American history.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah. All right. How about if you hosted Saturday Night Live, who would you want to introduce as your musical guest?
Pearl Jam.
Oh.
Ooh.
Good answer.
Okay.
Bam.
Yeah.
And you'd probably get to hang out with them after.
Oh, yeah. You better.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Better.
All right. If you could be an Olympic athlete, in what sport would you compete?
Does playing on the Olympic basketball team count?
Sure. I mean,
I would love to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. How about what's the one movie you love so much that you know you will be best friends with another person just by them loving it as well?
Great question. I would say probably The Blues Brothers.
Ooh, yeah.
Nice.
It's a classic.
Yes.
Okay. I've seen it 100 times.
Oh, yeah.
It makes me laugh. I always find different things. My friends and I still... We recite lines to each other from that movie to this day.
Nice.
It's still funny for us.
Oh, sure. And the soundtrack. I mean, can't get much better than that.
Ray Charles. Can't get better than
that.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. What is one special hidden talent you have that no one else knows about?
Oh, boy. What is it? I can flip pencils around my hand. Pencils and pens around my hand when I'm nervous.
Like twirl them? Like a drumstick type
like
of thing?
Twirling. It's like a twirling thing, yes.
Now, I had this on my list. I was going to ask you what your favorite movie quote is, but they're probably all from Blues Brothers, right? Maybe.
You know what my favorite movie quote that is? From Field of Dreams.
Oh.
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa.
Oh, of course.
That's a classic.
Chuck being a dope, of course.
Okay, who would play you in a movie of your life?
Great question. We'd like to say Brad Pitt, but... I don't think that's realistic. We bear no resemblance to each other. Good question.
Well, that's what makeup is for. I mean,
because all of us want Brad Pitt to play us in a movie, right?
We want
Bean. So I'll just stick with Brad Pitt.
There you go.
I don't know. I might throw Tom Cruise in there just to upset Roxy.
Chuck, come on.
Just kidding. Speaking of said movie of your life, would it be a drama, a comedy, a romantic comedy, action film, science fiction, horror, documentary, or mockumentary?
Probably be a mockumentary. You know, one of my favorite movies too is Spinal Tap. So I'd like to do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. All right. Nice. One more, Roxy.
All right. Would you rather have the ability to control the weather or talk to animals?
I would love to talk to animals because I'd love to converse with my dogs. I have two dogs, Buddy and Coco. And they are chocolate labs. And we spend a lot of time together because I work from home. So we're good friends.
I
would love to converse with them.
Love that.
All right. Let's do rapid fire. Brady Bunch or the Partridge Family?
Oh, Brady Bunch.
Smooth or crunchy peanut butter?
Smooth.
Mr. Furley or Mr. Roper?
Mr. Roper.
Okay.
Coke or Pepsi?
Coke.
How about pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
Is it time? This was pancakes. Do you put peanut butter on said pancakes?
I have in the past.
Okay.
I also put sugar on pancakes when I was a kid. How about that?
Okay.
Yes.
But let's go back to the peanut butter because you seemed hesitant at first. And then on top of it, you said you used to. So does that mean it was so bad that you just couldn't stomach it anymore? Like, where are we going with that? No.
I just outgrew it.
Okay.
It was a phase.
It was like wearing bell-bottom jeans kind of, you know. It's just,
All right, Mr. Mueller, we're going to call that a tie.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Brian Mueller, we're going to call that a tie, just for the record. I know you probably have no idea what we're talking about, but that's okay. All right.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
Star Trek.
And Uranus jokes, not funny or never not funny?
Oh, they're never not funny.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you so much for taking the time. Take a second to plug everything and let everyone know how they can reach out to you if you want to be gotten in touch with.
On Twitter, at Hawkeye Report, if you want to follow there, if you're interested. I just tweet about Iowa stuff mainly. Every once in a while, there'll be something else that creeps in there. But
you know, that's been some pretty exciting stuff to tweet about. So, you know.
Yes, business usually is the primary focus there. But we have a podcast, Hawkeye Report Podcast. If you enjoy Hawkeye sports or Iowa sports or just want to give us a listen or a download, or go to HawkeyeReport.com. Check us out. Love to have people stop by and read our content.
Yeah. All right. That's excellent. And as an homage to the Big Show, we'll get you out of here on this.
Over or under?
I am definitely an over guy.
All right.
Okay, definitely.
Tom, thank you so much again for taking the time. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right, all you loyal listeners.
We'll be right back.
Je m'appelle Kristen LeBlanc et vous écoutez à Chuck and Roxy sur le Loyal Littles podcast.
Welcome back to the Loyal Littles podcast, and thank you, Tom Kakert, for coming on to meet the Littles.
So cool.
How was that?
So freaking cool.
I mean, Littles, we stumble upon these sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's all I can say. And we just appreciate them taking the time to come on to meet the Littles. And Roxy, before we get to our emails, Roxy's got this one. In the spirit of basketball, we're tying it all up with the bow.
Yes.
Go, Roxy. She was excited for this one.
Coach said to fake right and break left. Watch out for the pick and keep an eye on defense. Gotta run the give and go and take the ball to the hole. Don't be afraid to shoot the outside J. Just keep your head in the game. Just keep your head in the game.
That, of course, is from... It is a Broadway show. I did the
it
national
is,
tour.
It is, actually. Well, it wasn't on Broadway.
It wasn't on Broadway. It was a first national tour,
yeah.
Disney's High School Musical.
Just keep your head in the game.
But there's that basketball number in there because I had to play all those stupid sound effects. I mean, spoiler alert for those who saw it.
The basketballs and the... No, they
the basketball,
yeah.
Yes. The dribbles, the net swish,
yeah,
the sneaker squeaks.
Yeah.
They were all on a drum pad in the orchestra pit. They were on this electronic drum pad. They were sampled sounds.
Yeah.
So when they're like jerking and moving on and shooting the ball... You hear it.
I wish I saw that.
And there was one that, I think there was the one off the backboard.
Yeah,
and
right.
There was other sound effects in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a pain in the ass is what it was. Well, no, because it was very exact. I mean, it had to match the choreography on stage and you're one beat off or one you missed.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Anyway, no, it's a good show though.
Yeah.
I mean, look, Mom always said, don't bite the hand that feeds you.
Yeah.
I mean, Disney,
you gotta
love
Disney
money, right? Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's get to our email real quick, Roxy, before we get out of here. Let's see. Do you want to go first?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
15 years ago, my coworkers and some spouses say, let's play adult co-ed kickball. A few games in, and one night, I kick round first, and it feels like someone kicked the back of my left leg, and I heard a pop like a balloon. I can't push off my leg and limp back to first. I think it's just a sprained ankle, but my wife makes me go to the urgent care. The doc there is pinching on my leg and showing my wife that I have a total Achilles tear. 10 weeks on crutches. No more kickball for dummy old man Tim Cree, smiley face. Tim Cree, episode 107. That sucks.
Yeah, we got...
I'm so sorry.
We got a bunch of those.
Wow.
Kickball.
Yeah.
And other stuff.
Yeah, I had a dance teacher that tore her Achilles during class, and it was the scariest thing
I think I
ever witnessed as a child.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bad.
Nope.
Yeah, no.
Especially in kickball.
Oh,
come on.
Yeah.
Anyway, hey, Chuck and Roxy. This is from Michelle Pendleton, episode 45. She's traveling right now,
uh-huh.
So she's going to get more details. I don't know how much more detail she can get than this, though. Each year, the first robotics competition releases a new game on the first Sunday of January. Teams then have until the end of February to build a robot to compete and play the game.
Wow.
Okay.
A month?
I kind of want to, well, it's 2 months, I guess, end of February.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
So I kind of want to read that over, but I don't need to. You get it. She then says there are 5 weeks of regular competitions, and in our division, you play in two events over those 5 weeks. From there, the top 80 teams in the Texas division play for the state championship. After that, the top 30 teams qualify for the world championship. Then she sent us a couple links. Here's the game. And then she said, and here's a piece on my son's team's robot. My son is the blonde in the mask. Okay, mm-hmm. So she sent us links. Holy crap, Liz.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
I might post these in the, I might wait though, because maybe she doesn't want everyone to see. I can't imagine why, but maybe.
Yeah.
Holy cow. This reminded me of, the only thing I could think of, do you remember the TV show Gladiators?
Mm-hmm.
It's like Gladiators on crack, okay?
With robots.
With robots. I'm like, they built this?
Yeah, it's
these
amazing.
These robots, they pick up these rings and throw them in, and they throw them on, you know, little hooks. They throw them inside.
Into slots of machines.
And something
about music.
Yeah,
and
it has something to do with music. I couldn't quite grasp the whole concept. Now, she said she's going to write in more, but holy cow.
It was really interesting.
Now, I mean, it looks like his team has about 5 or 6 people on it.
Yeah.
So it's not just one person, but still, these... I can't even begin to tell you what these robots look like.
Yeah, it's so cool. And the things that they do. And
it's a little scary.
Yeah, I mean, the kids were interviewed and each one talked about a different
part of what they did, or robot.
Yeah. And it was so fascinating. I didn't understand half of it, but it was so cool to see these kids like so into what they're doing. And I don't know. It was just really, really fascinating.
I was floored by it. So bravo. I guess they're in the state champion or the national championship or something. She's going to continue writing in, but wow.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's a little scary. I got to be honest. The technology and what these kids are.
Oh my gosh, they're so capable.
My mind.
It's really amazing.
It really did.
Yeah.
All right, then we heard from Jen Korpik. This was the update. Her apology.
Ah.
I should have put this under apologies, but for once, it's not for me.
Yeah, right.
It says, "Hi, Chuck and Roxy. My apologies to Timothy Diem on incorrectly naming myself the winner of the Loyal Littles podcast bracket challenge. Congratulations to him. I saw my name at the top right after the game was over, and I assumed I won. I know you should never assume. The names are probably in alphabetical order, and I was on the top line because of that."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know.
I feel bad, though. But we're going to get something out to Jen.
Yeah.
We're going to do a little something for Jen because, you know, she did. I mean, she had the most points out of everyone. She just, you know, she missed out on the tiebreaker.
Right.
That's all. So it happens. It happens. Yeah. All right. What's next, Roxy?
All right. We heard from Bobby Gottfried, episode 12. "I used to play on a flip cup team that also played a bit of kickball." That's it. That's all it says.
no results of that though.
Yeah, I mean, what was that like? Was it, you know,
did you win much?
Yeah. Were there rules about like what you could drink or, you know?
Well, that's what I'm curious about because the insurance alone for that must be. Now, I know for the one I have nothing to do with the flip cup, just for the record. So I want nothing to do with the ties between the two.
Yeah.
I ref the kickball, I go home. I don't go to the bar and ref the flip cup or anything like that. I'm sure there's refs there or they have to monitor it or whatever.
Yeah.
Now, I do know for a fact, because they're called hosts.
Mm-hmm.
They announce what's up and they announce stuff. And they're like, okay, and after this, you're going to go to the bar and play flip. So they are very specific and they do say this. They say, you do not have to drink alcohol.
Good.
That I know.
Good.
Okay, they said you can put water in it, soda, whatever.
I said juicy juice?
Whatever, okay? But there has to be some kind of liquid
chocolate
in the
milk?
Cup.
Yeah.
You can put whatever you want in it.
Hot chocolate?
Sure. Well, you're not going to do, because you have to drink it quick, right?
Oh, true.
I don't really know how flip cup works. You flip it.
You have to, you're basically racing against the opposing team. So you have to flip it and drink it.
Yeah, but
and
how do you flip it
to pass
if
it along to the
stuff
next
in it?
No, you have to drink it first. Sorry. Drink it,
then flip it back over.
As quickly as you can and you have to beat the other team.
Okay, so you're not going to want hot chocolate. You're going to want something.
Yeah.
You're going to want something. Okay. But just to be clear, I want to make sure I don't want to get this company in trouble. It's a national company.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing. They've obviously, their lawyers have checked into this, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But they do say it can be alcohol. So I don't know. I'm surprised, to be honest. Because like I would think then, or maybe the bar's responsible if something happens, not the company.
Probably not the bar.
Well, if someone's overserved.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, hello, how many cups are there?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't think they're full cups.
No. It's like a shot in a solo cup usually. Yeah. But yeah.
Wow. Looks like I got to brush up on my flip cup stuff. But Bobby, how'd you do?
Yeah.
You any good? I mean, five cup Roxy over here.
I know.
That was her nickname in college.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We've told that story, I'm sure.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's end with this. Episode 254, Larry Shore. Haven't heard from him in a while.
Ooh.
Chuck and Roxy, I wanted to clarify the issue on the Jewish calendar. Now, buckle up for this one.
Okay.
Now, we kind of went into this last episode, but this one, Dina, can we buy a number, a vial? This is crazy. There's major math.
Oh.
Okay. Wanted to clarify the Jewish calendar that you were talking about regarding leap year. Here is the situation. The Jewish calendar is based on the moon, not the sun.
Ah.
This is divinely ordained. The lunar year is 354 days as opposed to 365 for the solar year.
Oh.
That causes a shortage of 11 days each year. This causes another problem. Well, besides me having to do math, yes. The biblical holidays given by God must come out in the proper season. For example, Passover must come out in the spring. So without some adjustment, the holidays will slide all over the year.
Mm-hmm. I've noticed that.
I've noticed it with, you know, of course, Hanukkah and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. After many decades of trying to figure this out, the sages came up with a system which takes care of the problem. This occurred about 1,600 years ago. Every 7 out of 19 years, we have a leap year where an extra month is added to the calendar. This keeps the holidays where they belong, with a variance of only a few weeks from year to year. How they figured it out, I don't know, but it works. Glad things are going well with the show. Take care, Larry Shore, episode 254.
What is the month called?
Well, I don't know. But
this extra month, yeah. What is it called? What do you call it?
Well, this is clearly why everything like Hanukkah gets shifted. If I'm being honest, yeah. You know, obviously we're not Jewish. So I know of it and I kind of follow it, but not.
Yeah.
No pun intended, religiously.
Yeah, sure.
And so I know, always know Hanukkah is not the same time.
Yeah.
So I knew that shifted around, mm-hmm. but I did not know the other ones. And this all came up with me wishing everyone a happy Passover when we celebrated Easter, which was not the case. It's coming up, I believe. It's mm-hmm. It's coming up soon. So yeah, I don't know, but that's a lot of math. I'm sorry.
I know. Every 7 out of 19 years,
they have a leap year.
So you have...
Ours is one every four, right?
So what is that? Say you start on year one of the 19. At the 7-year mark, that's when you have a leap year. But then you get to 19 and then you start over again on one and then the next 7? I'm confused. I don't know.
I just hurt my head,
and my brain is about to explode.
Is that right?
I don't know. Or is it just every 7 years?
Well, no, it says there's a shortage of 11 days each year.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Sorry, I'm just rereading this now because it's only 354 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that I understand. That makes sense.
You know what? So then is it, okay, you start on year one. At year 7, that's a leap year. Then at year 14, that's another leap year. But then you go to 19 and then reset back at 1. So I don't know.
Can we just talk about The Bachelor
some
more?
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's go back to The Bachelor.
Thanks, Larry.
Golden or I don't care which one. No, I'm just kidding. Like, what? All right. I'm sure we'll get clarification on that.
Yeah.
That's all really the time we have. I'm just trying to get off topic. I mean, right. Survivor was okay this week.
Yeah, it was okay.
Double mm-hmm. elimination.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing Race.
Yeah. Oh, we were happy with who got out.
Well, it's funny. I like them, the cousins.
Yeah.
But they were kind of annoying.
Yeah, they were mostly annoying.
Yeah, so they're gone.
Yeah.
So that's good. Spoiler alert.
But also, like, good for them. Happy for them.
I'm really happy about what they wanted. The second Survivor bump. Was not a big Soda fan. First of all, her name is Soda.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, I think that's cool.
Great.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
All right, Roxy, let's get out. She annoyed me. I'm sorry.
I think she was a little
too happy.
No, it wasn't that. I think she was playing a hard game, but also a not.
I think it was too hard.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And I like that we kind of have a villain, as much as a villain you're going to get for Survivor now.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But we'll see how that works out.
Yeah,
sure. But anyway, let's get out of here. Tell everyone how they can get in touch with us.
Go to our website, loyallittlespod.com. Everything you need is over there. Don't forget to sign our guest book. Don't forget to check out Little Palooza. Don't forget all the social media accounts that we have that we try to use.
That Roxy never updates.
You know, all
we
the
try.
Things.
And don't forget, if you do listen to us on Apple and iTunes, please give us a nice rate and review over there. It does matter, and it does help in our ratings and all that stuff, and it suggests to... other littles that listen to TK and stuff like that might have never heard of us.
Right.
We still have those people.
We do.
I just don't I'm not trying to brag here at all, but I don't understand.
We've been out for 3 years plus.
Well, not only that, but when do they just think who's Chuck and Roxy?
Yeah, right.
Like, I don't know.
I think a lot of them think it's like another DG thing. Like, oh, they're not real.
That's true.
This is a fake.
Because
this is just a funny
Greg
joke.
Greg Garcia, it mm-hmm. doesn't help.
I know.
Because... that dope still won't come on our podcast. I mean, his people, you know, we're not returning their calls and stuff, you know, because he calls us every day.
Just a lot of back and forth.
Someday, maybe. Probably not.
All
right. And if you need a book,
go to aaronsbooks.com.
And don't forget, if you are shopping online tonight, especially at aaronsbooks.com, when you're checking out in the comment section, don't forget to
use the code
LLPOD. That's the code.
Bye.
Holy cow, you're a little.
Nothing little about this dream of mine. There's nothing little about my dream. No one's gonna hold me back. No one's ever gonna hold me back this time. Oh, this time. Dream on.
The Loyal Littles Podcast is produced by the WTFC Podcast Network and edited by Louis B. Crocco. And the Loyal Littles Podcast logo is designed and drawn by Eric Lonergan.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.